If you are a college hoops fan, it is the most wonderful time of the year. It is March, it is madness, and it is time to fill out your office brackets and hopefully hold bragging rights and not have to hide from your coworkers for the next couple weeks. Here to help you do that is Dave Preston, who watches more college basketball than probably anyone else I know. That includes me, and I watch college basketball when I can't sleep at night. So I feel like we are at least in decent position to
love me the Pac-12 late game.
You know? I'm a Big West grad. I stay up and watch the Big West games sometimes on the weekends. So we are looking at who got in and who didn't get in before we kind of dive into it. Dave, what are the snubs that really sort of maybe stick out to you who ended up on the wrong side of the bubble?
I thought Oklahoma State deserved to make the tournament. They swept Kansas during the regular season. They went 2-1 against Oklahoma. They went 8-10 in a very good conference. I thought they should have made the field. I thought Middle Tennessee was a school that should have gotten in. Unfortunately, they didn't go far enough in their conference tournament to merit inclusion. As is the case, it's usually one mid-major that steals another mid-major's bid. I think St. Bonaventure winning, even though they said that they took Notre Dame's spot in the field, I think that was Middle Tennessee's spot that went to the Bonnies.
Yeah, or St. Mary's spot. Yeah. I couldn't believe St. Mary's didn't get in. They ranked in the 20s in BPI and in KenPom rankings. I mean, a lot of teams ranked a lot worse than them, and the advanced metrics didn't get in. And they won 28 games. I mean, they had the wins. They had the advanced metrics. They beat Gonzaga in Spokane. They had some good wins, and I don't know. It's problematic when you have teams with 13, 14, 15 losses getting in and you're leaving teams like that out.
Conversely, I thought Alabama shouldn't have made the field, and they were a 9 seed. So they didn't just barely make the field. They made the field with plenty of room to spare. Same case with Oklahoma. Yes, you've got star power with both of those teams, but a star does not a team make. A star does not a profile make. Also, I thought that my alma mater, Syracuse, did not deserve to make the field. They played just well enough to be on the bubble. Two of their conference wins came against a Pitt squad that fired their coach and is a dumpster fire. I thought those three schools shouldn't have made the tournament.
It's very magnanimous of you to admit. Syracuse, 4 road wins all season. Alabama, 2 road wins all season. That used to mean something in the selection committee. Evidently, that's not something that means anything anymore.
One thing that concerned me heading into Selection Sunday was that they announced that they were going to move away from the last 12. It used to be the last 10 games that they used as sort of a figure that they would look at. It wasn't the be-all, end-all, but it was an ingredient into the equation. Then it was the last 12, which was a good, you know, I guess, sample size to check out. And then they just got rid of it this year. So you have an Oklahoma team that I think lost 11 of 15 down the stretch.
They finished 2-8.
Alabama was awful to end the regular season, and they're able to get in, and you should be playing your best basketball at this point. Instead, you've got two very inconsistent teams making the field that probably shouldn't deserve to be in it.
Well, let's look at how that affects their matchups and see what we've got. The first round, the first weekend, is always the most fun of the tournament. We've got every team still alive and dreaming, going in on a high, either winning their conference tournaments or getting an at-large bid. What are some upsets that you're looking at? Let's start in the South region. That's Virginia's region. What do you have in terms of potential upsets in that first round?
I think Davidson is going to give Kentucky a run for their money. I had a chance to see Davidson play at the A-10 tournament. They've got Peyton Aldridge, who's a big who can shoot from three-point range. They've got the Kellen Grady kid who is able to make big buckets in tough circumstances. And the way they move the ball, Coach Bob McKillop has been there forever. This is the perfect contrast of your one-and-dones against your program that is in there for the long haul, where the seniors have been playing together for 2, 3, 4 years. I'd love to see Davidson win. I think Kentucky's going to pull out just one of those games that makes you want to punch a hole in your hat.
The top half of the South bracket, I think, is going to impact the most brackets. The way that shakes out, you've got Virginia, you've got Kentucky, you've got Arizona. Any one of those teams is Final Four capable. You know, really, any one of those teams is championship capable, I think.
And I fully expect Virginia to trail at the end of the first half against UMBC, freaking out Kippy and Buffy.
Yeah, they very well could. They tend to get off to slow starts. I got a couple upsets in this region. I think Loyola, you know, Loyola has been really, really good all year. They went down and beat Florida in Florida, and in the swamp, and they've got Miami, a fellow Florida team, in the first round. That could be a tricky game for Miami. Loyola does a lot of things well, and my big upset pick for the whole thing, and I don't know if it's really going to happen, but I think that there's the potential for it. When you look at Georgia State and Cincinnati, the 15-2, Georgia State a couple years ago came in, beat Baylor, a very similar game, a good defensive team that slows it down. They can hit threes. They're one of the better three-point shooting teams in the country. Yeah, Cincinnati defends the three well, but you get into these games, if they get down, if they get behind in these big arenas, you're playing in a place in Nashville, which is really not any sort of a home benefit for Cincinnati. You should have just as good of a crowd coming up from Georgia as you do from Cincinnati. It feels like one of those games that could go the wrong way.
One thing that I guess Cincinnati was instantly on my radar. I think it's the ghost of Bob Huggins, because back in the day, his Bearcats would always be a 1, 2, or 3 seed, would get bounced early. They rank second nationally in scoring defense. I think that's going to be a big difference, at least in the first weekend. You need to be able to score consistently to win 4, 5, 6 games in the tournament, but a good defense you can ride at least through the first couple of days.
Let's move down and check out the West bracket. Who do you have as a potential surprise team there?
Big upset. I've got South Dakota State shocking Ohio State. You got to ask yourself, rested or rusty? Buckeyes have played just once since February 23rd. Coach Chris Holtmann did a fantastic job in his first year coming over from Butler. I think one thing when we look at the bracket as a whole, so many first-year coaches doing great jobs with their new schools, getting them into the tournament. Holtmann's one of them. I think OSU played way above their level for deep into the season. They got swept by Penn State. They're not as good as their seed might be. They've played beyond expectations. And I think just not playing for 3 weeks basically is going to hurt them, especially in that first round where you're trying to get kinks out.
Yeah, the Big Ten's decision to move the tournament up is going to be really, really interesting, seeing how that plays out. You know, does it hurt teams, especially like you said in that first game? It feels like maybe if they can survive the first game, they'll be in good shape because they'll be better rested. But yeah, those first round situations really could make or break, you know, for that entire conference.
And one of the reasons why the Big Ten went to the tournament at long last in the late 90s was they had schools like Purdue, Michigan State, you know, winning the league and then getting bounced in the first or second round because they had no tournament experience, no conference tournament to build up to the big dance.
I also have South Dakota State winning that game. I have the other SD State winning as well. It's San Diego State, which is playing much, much better ball. They lost some really bad games early, but they had some injuries. It's one of those teams that's off of a lot of people's radars. They had a couple really, really bad early season losses, but they finally seem to be playing better ball. Had a nice winning streak down the stretch. I think Houston's going to be gassed after that tournament. After they had to play all the way into Sunday afternoon in the American Conference tournament, and you could see it when they were playing Cincinnati. They were outrunning Cincinnati in the first half, and by the second half, they couldn't make a jump shot. Their legs were jelly. I have a sense that could be another upset.
And it's nice to see Steve Fisher's longtime assistant, Brian Butcher, take over the program, the Aztecs, lead them into the tournament this year.
And that was a good conference. That was a quietly good conference. You know, the major conferences dominate the conversation, but there are some really good mid-major conferences out there. Let's look at first-round games out east. That's Nova's bracket. Any surprises you see there?
I've got a double blowout. The famed, I've got Stephen F. Austin shocking Texas Tech. Lumberjacks ranked 4th in the nation in turnover margin. That's going to be havoc for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Also, I've got St. Bonaventure, and this is one of those things I hate to you hate to pick a team that's playing one of the first two nights to go deep into the tournament because it can be over before Thursday at noon when the money's due. But if you look at since they've had the first four, usually somebody's been able to at least win one game, sometimes two games. Tennessee got to the Sweet 16 a few years ago. VCU went from the first four to the final four back in 2011. I think the Bonnies get it done and bounce Florida.
Yeah, I actually think UCLA, if they win that game, does the same thing. So we'll see how that plays out. We're recording this on Tuesday. This won't run until Thursday morning, but we're recording it on Tuesday. So we either way, we think that that Florida could go down there. I don't have any other huge first-round upsets out there, but I think Butler goes two rounds. Purdue strikes me as a team with some serious flaws, especially on the second day of the week of the weekend, playing two games in 3 days. Butler did scuffle a bit down the stretch, but they have a lot of talent. got a good win over Seton Hall in their conference tournament before losing to Nova. But I think that, you know, the advanced metrics really like them and has them as sort of a mid-20s team. I think that they could be kind of a sleeper against an overseeded Purdue team.
Another first-year coach, Laval Jordan. It's amazing how many good coaches have come through Butler over the years. From Barry Collier, now Jordan leading them to the big dance this season.
All right, final region for first-round upsets. Let's look out to the Midwest. That's Kansas's region. What are you looking at?
Well, I think it's amazing, first, that Kansas starts playing in Wichita and the regional is Omaha. It makes me almost wish that the Final Four was in St. Louis just to make it a triple play. I've got New Mexico State beating Clemson in the first round. For some reason, I have never been able to trust Clemson, even when they've been good, no matter who their coach has been, whether it's been Rick Barnes. I don't feel confident in the Tigers this year.
Yeah, New Mexico State, the 12 seed. They're also the number 12 defense in the country by efficiency. They're you don't see that a lot out of these mid-majors. You expect maybe they got one guy who can score a bunch, but they play really, really good defense. They rebound. They do a lot of things well. You know, you talk about those games where you're playing in a big arena and shots maybe don't fall right away, and you could see where a team that you're not used to playing against, you don't have a lot of tape, you don't have a lot of common opponents. I've actually got them going two rounds. They beat Davidson. They beat Miami. They're a good team. They're any kind of directional school or state school from a far flung state that's not on the national radar doesn't get a lot of love. But I really thought the SEC as a whole, while it was better than it's been in years past, is not as good as people are making it out to be. So I think they get past Auburn in the second round as well.
I think Auburn's going to have their hands full with the College of Charleston in the first round, just to give Charles Barkley something to freak out about in his chair.
Before we get into the deeper runs and kind of who we have potentially making it out to San Antonio, what do you think about our local draws here? We've got basically three local-ish teams between Virginia Tech, UMBC, two of them play each other right off the bat.
I know, and what's amazing, first time since 1978 we haven't had a school inside the Beltway, or even if you want to glance towards George Mason, you know, any school in the area making the tournament. I thought that Maryland had a shot until injuries took over. I thought Navy had a chance until they just completely, were upset in the first round of the Patriot League. Virginia UMBC is our big local matchup. I think Virginia's got a chance to make it to the Final Four. I've got them going to the Final Four. Number one in the nation in defense, and that travels. It's not as though they're inefficient on offense. They're just very focused. It's as though they've got a governor on the go-kart and can only go 15 miles an hour. They've got Kyle Guy who can shoot, and they've got Tony Bennett's built a good complement of players on a team where they lost a lot of transfers last year. I thought this was going to be a rebuilding year. Virginia wasn't even ranked to start the year. They begin the tournament number one in the nation.
Yeah, I've got them making a deep run as well. I don't know why I believe in them more this year, but their defense has always been good. Their defense is historically good this year. It's arguably the best defense that we've ever seen in terms of efficiencies. That obviously plays well in a situation where, you know, if you have not great offensive game, you can get away with it. You can find ways to win. They're coming away with more steals this year, which is a huge component. You know, if you're having to play a full 30 seconds of tough defense every possession, it can grind down on you. When you can get some easy buckets going the other way, that makes a big difference. Our other one is Virginia Tech. They draw the dreaded 8-9 game. So even if they do get past Alabama, which I think that they will, I think Alabama used up all of its kind of magic in the SEC tournament. They're probably going to get Villanova in the second round. Do you think that they have any chance of...
I think they do, because they're one of the better shooting teams. I think they ranked ninth in Division I in shooting. They were second maybe in the ACC in shooting from three-point range. And they're a better rebounding team this year than last. Last year, they were just if they missed, it was game over, basically. I think they can hang with Villanova. Villanova's a team that is built to dominate the Big East, and I saw them come down and just absolutely destroy Georgetown. But I think they have problems with teams that can muddy it up, like Wisconsin last year. Virginia Tech is not that team, but they can definitely put points on the board to at least keep Villanova a little bit nervous.
So that kind of leads us into looking ahead in the tournament. to me, the team that is that team is West Virginia, who could well face Villanova in the Sweet 16. I think West Virginia beats Villanova in the Sweet 16. They are the team that takes whatever you want to do and throws it on its head and says, no, we're just going to play, you know, this scrappy, nasty game.
Oh, it's...
We're going to bang you around. We're going to run it and jam the ball down your throat on offense and trap you and do everything to make you uncomfortable. I had West Virginia last year making the finals, making the championship
right.
game, and they very nearly beat Gonzaga. They were right there. I love senior guards in March. I love Javon Carter. I think they've got the goods to make that run. I like their matchup against Nova as far as any of the one seeds go, because they're not going to be dominated with size by Kansas or a similar kind of crunching style with Virginia. I kind of like their contrary style. And I've got Gonzaga actually getting back as well, because I think Xavier's the weakest one seed. I think there's a good chance for Gonzaga to get out of the West. We both have Virginia in our Final Four. I also have Michigan State as my fourth. What is your Final Four?
Virginia. I've got Michigan. And I'm wary about that because, one, they had to win four games in 4 days, but they've had a week off. So I think that and John Beilein is the best coach that nobody's talking about. I think Virginia, Michigan, I have Purdue, and then I have Kansas, because I think last year I mentioned on these airwaves, if Kansas does not get to the Final Four because the regionals in Kansas City – They should have to walk home. This year, it begins in Wichita, the regionals in Omaha. They're the best team in that bracket. I expect to see them play Duke in the finals, in the regional finals, and we get a little more Grayson Allen for posterity's sake.
Well, it's so funny. So I always say Michigan State is the team that will ruin my bracket, because I always pick them wrong. And I have them winning the whole thing this year, which means they're probably going to lose in the first round to Bucknell. But the other team that tends to ruin everyone's bracket every year, not just my bracket, is Duke. And of course, they're in the same pod down there as the 2 and 3 seed in the same region with Kansas. I don't even know what to make of Duke. What you see, you say you have them going to the Elite Eight, losing to Kansas.
Yeah.
What did you think of them coming out of the ACC tournament?
They were a little bit of everything. They've had about five seasons this year where they've played really well. They were number one. They defended. They didn't defend. Guys were hurt. Grayson Allen had his shenanigans. It feels like, again, I don't know, they have dog years, coaching years. It feels like Mike Krzyzewski's aged about 5 years this winter. And the one-and-done experiment works for them, but at what cost?
So neither of us have anything too crazy, advancing past, say, the Sweet 16. I had a couple of double-digit seeds with Butler and New Mexico State, but how do you see that playing down once you get to the Final Four?
Final Four, I've got Virginia beating Michigan. I've got Purdue topping Kansas, and then I've got Purdue beating Virginia.
So going
on a limb. I know the women's volleyball coach there, Dave Shondell. I did games with him back in Indiana 20 years ago. If they lose, it's your fault, Dave.
I also have Virginia winning, although I had Gonzaga beating Michigan to get to that other Final Four spot. So Virginia over Gonzaga. I've got Michigan State over West Virginia coming out from the East. And then Michigan State beating Virginia. So we both have Virginia losing the national championship game.
Yeah, we do.
See, we don't confer on our brackets ahead of time. This is
the Moscato stays on ice for Kippy and Buffy.
It's funny. We both have a Big Ten team making it. So I guess we think that the rest, if they can survive the first round, the rest will be good for the Big Ten.
I just think that they're playing very good basketball at this time. I think the rest isn't going to be that much of a factor, because Purdue had a deep run. They played until Saturday. Michigan State played until Sunday. So did Michigan. So whereas Ohio State was out early there, I've got them completely not in the mix.
That's about all I got. Any other final thoughts about this year's tournament?
It's amazing how people try to ruin good things. TBS with their selection show Sunday. And you know what? You have to be experimental. Nobody thought of the selection show until they did the selection show on the air on CBS 30 plus years ago. Studio audience, kind of a backfire. Ernie Johnson Jr. eating the pizza. I don't know about that. But the one thing that really got me was the alphabetical introduction of the at-large teams. Monday night, ESPN announced the women's bracket. And they did it the way you're supposed to, by announcing the bracket. Teams don't know where they're going. They don't know if they're in the field until they see their name up there. And that's what sports is like. If you're given a sheet before the game of all the shots that will make and miss, well, that's not really exciting. But if you actually see the shots make and miss, then that adds a little bit of something. I guess along those lines, TBS, you know, yes, Turner's bought into the tournament and everything, and so we have to deal with them, you know, and the like over the next couple of weeks. And Charles and Kenny talk about how much they follow the game, while neither probably does because they've got other jobs. What TBS should do is, moving forward, have a national game of the week. You know, maybe partner up with the SEC or the ACC and just have a different game each week, where you have, say, Charles in the studio one week, Kenny in the studio the next week, whoever is backing up Ernie Johnson Jr. be your studio host, to give you some street cred. Because the fact that Turner is all of a sudden all in, it would be akin to having Jim Spanarkle do the NBA playoffs. Which, why? Because he doesn't cover the games.
I like the game day idea. I mean, it's basically, you know, bring game day the same way that ESPN does, but maybe, you know, maybe branch out and not just like a contract with one conference.
Right.
Like, pick the most interesting game that's out there, and that could be all over the country. Doesn't, you know, have to show Duke
right.
North Carolina every time. You could go show, you know, Gonzaga and St. Mary's. You could go show Georgia State or one of these teams, or Middle Tennessee,
wherever, yeah,
right, that have had tournament histories, yeah, and won games and been, you know, been sort of big upsets.
It would give Turner some street cred.
What?
And because they have, and it's, they have minimal credibility because they don't cover it during the regular season. It reminds me of when I would watch college football games and the Orange Bowl would always be on NBC, and NBC did no college football during the regular season. So moving forward, I wish Turner would do that. Granted, I'm not working for Turner, so I can't influence. But I'm looking forward to three great weeks, because even with all the shenanigans, the FBI probes, the selection shows, True TV having to preempt Hair Jack for the next 3 weeks, you can't mess with what is a great tournament, and I'm looking forward to the next 3 weeks.
It's the best time on the sports calendar, really the best 4 days, the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. Hopefully we steered you in the right direction, and if we didn't,
you never
heard any of this.
This is Don Peterson if my picks are wrong.
He's Dave Preston. I'm Noah Frank. Thanks for listening.